From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've joined with us for today's program. And in just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, he continues a message entitled, Christ the Friend of Sinners. From the text in Luke chapters 13, 14, and 15, Dr. Cairns reveals the Lord Jesus Christ's dealings with sinners whom he loves. In seven warnings, Christ cautions souls against presumption, prejudice, pride, and, as we'll see today, against lying and false profession. First, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reports on Al Gore, Baptist of the Year.
EthicsDaily.com is a Baptist internet site dedicated to nurturing good relations between Baptists and Jews. It's also a site that promotes the politically correct environmental cause and tries to give it a scriptural twist, going so far as to reinterpret Christ's great proclamation of his messianic calling, Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, as a pro-environmental statement. For the last few years, this site has selected a Baptist of the Year, and for 2007, decided to confer the honor on Al Gore. Here's what the editorial says. Al Gore is EthicsDaily.com's pick as Baptist of the Year for 2007. He has pressed for the global good with a compelling message about the danger of climate change and a clear call for moral responsibility, knitting together science and faith, reason and passion. He has refused to be distracted by the character assassins, the fear-mongers, the science deniers, and the merchants of short-term gain. He has remained faithful to his mission of protecting the earth and its inhabitants. In the opening paragraphs of his Nobel Peace Prize lecture, Gore said, "I have a purpose here today. It is a purpose I have tried to serve for many years. I have prayed that God would show me a way to accomplish it." With an acknowledgement of providence, Gore tethered his speech to moral vision. He quoted the Bible, refused to make God responsible for human inaction, called squarely for an ethic of love for neighbor, confessed human failure, and placed moral authority at the tip of the needed plan for planetary redemption. His address was profoundly Christian without being offensively so. The earth has a fever. And the fever is rising. The experts have told us it is not a passing affliction that will heal by itself. We asked for a second opinion, and a third, and a fourth, and the consistent conclusion, restated with increasing alarm, is that something basic is wrong. He said, "We are what is wrong, and we must make it right." The EthicsDaily.com editorial went on to blast Baptists for all but ignoring St. Al. Again, I quote, "Regrettably, no Baptist has received less applause from Baptists than Gore, a shameful but not unexpected reality from a people snarled in religious fear, suspicious of science, and stuck in the rut of spiritualized reading of the Bible." There end the EthicsDaily.com quotations. Now, I wonder where in all the Bible any Baptist, or any seeing man for that matter, ever found any reference to planetary redemption as being part of the mission of God's people or any people. I will not again repeat the constant stream of criticism that the science behind Gore's doomsday scenario is flawed science, that the current trend in climate is part of the endless fluctuations of climate, that man's efforts can and will make no difference to the trend, and that anyway, who can say that the current situation is the optimum one for the Earth? What I will say is that Al Gore is promoting something, but it's not Christianity, it's socialism on a worldwide scale. His vision is the old liberal notion that lay behind the social gospel. It was proved a myth back in the 1920s and will be proved a myth again. It's not part of Al Gore's mission to bring in the new heavens and the new earth. What else is planetary redemption? It's not the church's job to save the universe, but to preach the gospel. That is not the rut of a spiritualized reading of the Bible. It's the plain meaning and message of the Word of God. Now, you can follow St. Al, or you can follow St. Paul, who refused to preach any other message than Christ crucified. You can have St. Al if you want. I'll go with St. Paul, even if St. Al is designated Baptist of the Year 2007.
The perfect righteousness of God is witnessed in the Savior's blood. 'Tis in the cross of Christ we trace His righteousness, yet wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save us righteously. The sin is on the Savior laid. 'Tis in His blood sin's debt is paid. Stern justice can demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. The sinner who believes is free, can say the Savior died for me, can point to the atoning blood and say, this made my peace with God.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches, held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. for an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Verses 15 through 24 of chapter 14, there's a warning, and the proper word here is a big word, but it's a warning against prevarication. Prevarication, I love that word, it's a nice word, it has a very clear ring and a very clear meaning to it. If you want to know what it means, you just read the portion, chapter 14, verses 15 through 24 of these people that I call the case of the two lunatics and the henpecked husband. You know these two people who were told to come to the feast. And the first lunatic says, I have bought ground and I've got to go and see it. Come on. And the second one, an even bigger lunatic, says, I have bought oxen and I have got to go and prove them. I've often said, I have lived in Northern Ireland, lived most of my public life among farmers. And it's only the dumb city slicker that thinks that the farmer is a fool or the farmer's dull-witted. John Plowman may seem to be dull-witted, but let me tell you, he can buy and sell you before you've had your breakfast. There's not a dull bone in his body. And in all the farmers I've ever known, I've never known one that would get rid of a dollar if he hadn't good reason to believe it was well spent. Buying land that he had no idea what it looked like or what good it was? No, sir. Fools and their money are easy parted, but not farmers. Spending money on beasts, didn't know if they were lamed or whether they were worth the money? No, sir. And then you've got the henpecked husband. I have married a wife. And notice the next word. Therefore, I cannot come. Therefore, I cannot come. You know, here is prevarication. They were not only putting off. They were putting off, but the underlying reality here is a lie. The truth is, they didn't want to go to the feast. Now this is a picture of a greater feast where the Lord is the great man who says, come, for all things are now ready. But people don't want to come. That's the trouble. Jesus said, ye will not. You have no will or desire to come to me that you might have life. People will not come.
Of all the excuses in the world. The Lord Jesus warns against it. His house will be full. There's no doubt about that. He's going to bring his people in. He then gives a warning against false profession. And you find it in chapter 14, and if you start at verse 25, you have this tremendous thing. You hate father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, and your own life. And unless you do that, you cannot be my disciple. It doesn't say you'll be an inferior Christian, a carnal Christian, a second-class Christian, but yet a Christian. No, no, it says you cannot be my disciple. You see, when the Lord brings the gospel to a man or a woman or a young person, there is a choice to be made. There is a cross to be borne. There is a cost to be paid, not to purchase salvation, but there's a cost to being saved. The world will soon let you know that. I want you to notice that true faith, as distinct from false profession, true faith crowns Christ. That's the meaning of hating father and mother. In other words, he's saying if there's a choice between the dearest earthly relationship on earth and the Lord Jesus Christ, you choose Christ. That's what he's saying. If there's a choice between your life itself and Christ, you will eschew life and choose Christ. And this is the meaning of that other great saying of his, whosoever will save his life will lose it. In fact, he goes on to make it clear, if to save your life you give up Christ, you lose not only life but your soul itself. Whosoever will lose his life, says Jesus, for my sake and for the gospel's, the same will save his life and indeed his soul as well. You see, true faith always crowns Christ. True faith, verse 27, carries the cross. This is the opposite to that pride that I was talking about in verses 7 through 14. This is the ultimate death to self, carrying the cross. What does that mean? It's just a graphic way of teaching what Paul had in his great prayer in Philippians 3 when he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And what Paul again said, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There is a dying to self. A dying off to self-will, self-ambition, self-exaltation, self-promotion, self-indulgence. There is a dying off to the lusts of the flesh. And there is a taking up of the cross. A willingness to die in order to live in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot live in the power of the resurrection unless you are made conformable to the death. Unless there is the taking up of the cross. That's the negation of self and its pride. True faith counts the cost. True faith is not a flash in the pan decision. True faith in Jesus Christ is not a fuzzy feeling. The minister I was with in Northern Ireland was telling me that some time ago, a young woman came to him. She was a university student from the area studying in England. She was back home and having some spiritual problems. She went to another church in the town, but she came to him seeking for some spiritual help. There is a charismatic-based so-called course of evangelism that's widely used in Britain. It's called the Alpha Course. And the people that had introduced her to this course, they had led her into some charismatic type of meeting. She had some strange, warm, fuzzy feeling. She could feel her hair standing on end. She could feel this crawling feeling all over the flesh of her body. A strange warmth was passing through her. And they came and said, "Hallelujah, you have been born again." You're a Christian now. Of course, he was still a drinking, hard-living, wicked, licentious, selfish woman. Not a bit of change in her life. And so she comes to my friend and she asks him, why am I having such difficulty living the Christian life? And he opened the Bible and he said, young lady, the reason you're having such difficulty living the Christian life is you've never become a Christian. Faith is not a fuzzy feeling. Faith is not persuading yourself everything's good. Faith is not whistling in the dark. Faith crowns Christ, King of the life. Faith is willing to get to the cross with all its implications for the life. Faith counts the cost. As Jesus says in verse 28, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? What does he mean there? He says, genuine faith in Christ isn't just starting something, it is going through with God to the end. Faith counts the cost. You don't buy salvation. But I want to tell you, if you're going to be saved, there's a price to be paid. Your unsaved friends will soon make that clear to you. You either go their way or you go Christ's way, but you're not going both ways. There is a price to be paid. Your own old flesh doesn't suddenly fall in love with Christ. The old flesh hates God and His Christ with a passion. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can ever be made subject to the law of God. So, if you're going to trust in Christ, there's a denying of the flesh. There's a cost involved. And at the end of the chapter, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Salt is good. Why? Because true faith always combats corruption. How do you know whether you've got faith in Christ or whether you don't? The devil would tell you, if you still sin, you don't have faith. If you still feel, you don't have faith. And that would mean nobody has faith. Which is obviously, from God's word, a lie. But those who have faith in Christ have something within them that fights the natural corruption of the flesh. It says with Isaiah when he feels his sin, woe is me. Not, man, it's good to be saved, now let's go and live like the devil. That sort of attitude is the attitude of a hypocrite. Years and years ago in Belfast, I stood talking to a fellow. And he said, I'm saved. I had no reason at that time to dispute it. I later did come to dispute it. But I remember one day he said, I'm saved. What's more, I'm reformed. Idiot, he was deformed. Wasn't a reformed bone in his body. There wasn't a bit of truth in his soul. He was just an old, unconverted, hypocritical liar. Says, I'm elect from the foundation of the world. I'm among the predestinated of God. Forgetting that those who are predestinated to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm justified. I can do anything but go to hell. And he did anything. He was immoral, filthy, vile, vicious, and it never cost him a thought. Now let me tell you, my friend. You say you have faith. One of the essential actions of faith in Christ is that it will always combat corruption. So that when you're genuinely saved, sin is an intruder. Sin is a usurper. Sin is that which certainly is there, but oh, it grieves the heart. And if you're genuinely saved, there is a desire in your soul. If God would just give me the desire of my heart, it would be perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be without sin. But the man who has false profession is happy to have a fire insurance from hell, but nothing to put a brake on his lusts. So the Lord Jesus warns.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.